Blog Talk Radio. Pai, em nome de Jesus, glorificamos por mais esta reunião. Queremos dar toda a glória, toda a honra no sacrifício do teu filho na cruz do Calvário, Senhor. Pedimos a tua graça, Senhor, para que nos faças instrumentos na tua mão e que o teu povo saia acrescentado em tudo aquilo que é necessitado. Derrama o teu espírito, toma a direção de todas as coisas. Fala ao teu povo, traz cada um necessita, para que possam caminhar em segurança, possam ser vencedores de toda a cilada do inimigo, toda a luta que se levante para impedir a vitória do teu povo nesta noite, daqueles que estão ouvindo o programa e também daqueles que irão ouvir mais tarde. Deus possa cair por terra pela tua unção. Nós te pedimos, em nome de Jesus, amém. Amados, mais uma vez agradecemos a presença de todos. Estamos hoje novamente reunidos com os irmãos de Pine Ridge, irmão Marcos e irmão Curtis, que vão estar connosco para ministrar um pouco mais daquilo que têm recebido de Deus, e que o Pai separou para as nossas vidas. Que possamos abrir o coração para receber o maná que Deus nos preparou para hoje. Esteja atento, porque são vasos preparados por Deus para transmitirem a graça do amoroso Pai que enviou Jesus à cruz. O Espírito Santo vai estar conduzindo todo este programa a fim de que possa encontrar direção. Graça sobre graça para a sua vida. Não olhe as circunstâncias, esteja atento e fixe o seu olhar em Cristo, pois Ele é fiel. E onde estão dois ou três unidos em seu nome? Um dois ou três que um dia largaram tudo por amor a Ele. Ele está presente para guiar aqueles que são dele. Por isso, abra o coração, entregue-se nas mãos deste Pai amoroso, porque Deus tem bênçãos para a sua vida. Estaremos também dando as boas-vindas aos nossos irmãos que não compreendem português e depois iremos ter um período de adoração ao nosso Rei. Que Deus os abençoe, em nome de Jesus. Amém. Brothers and sisters, thank you once again for your presence, or bringing a little more of the glory to our Father, our Savior, and His Holy Spirit to hear, to join forces in this gathering of a spiritual harmony that is property of our great King Jesus, Yahushua. I welcome you all, and I know that God has blessings for everyone that spares time to praise Him, to learn from His Spirit. We have our brother from Pine Ridge, Brother Marcus, Brother Curtis. Besides, they have troubled day. I want you to know that this man passed all day in the hospital assisting people, and it was almost when he was missing 4 hours for this show that he could repair it. But even tired, his great warriors, they didn't reject the call of our Lord. So pray for this anointed man of God that will be here bringing the manna that Father wants to give us tonight. I want you please put this man on the altar now, as I know that the Lord will reward the efforts of these anointed brothers. But first, worship our God. Let's help. Let's ask Him that He help us with His anointing. Father, join us here because He has a purpose to bless us. In the end of this day, after a lot of noise, a lot of speculation, a lot of rumors, He has kept the best one for the end of the day. So prepare yourselves, open your heart, your mind, and prepare to leave all the sadness, all the doubts, all the pain in the altar, in the end of our Father. Because the King of glory is coming. The Spirit has already prepared the way. We must prepare ourselves with praise to receive our King and to give Him the glory that He is worthy. So, my brothers and my sisters, let's praise Him for a while, and then we will bring our brothers to the show. May the Lord Jesus Yahushua bless us all, in Jesus' name.
Let me hear the worshipers! Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
knows there is surely more than this. Echoes of eternity all around us. I'm there's a new song breaking out from the children of freedom. Every race and every nation, sing it out, sing a new hallelujah. Yeah. Let us sing love to the nation, bringing hope of the grace that has freed us. Make it known and make it famous. Sing it out, sing a new hallelujah. Yeah.
Woo! Hooray!
believe in God the Father, Almighty Maker of heaven and Maker of earth, and in Jesus Christ His only begotten Son, our Lord.
He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified and dead and buried.
I believe what I believe. It's what makes me who I am. No, I did not make it. No, it is making me. It is the very truth of God, not the invention.
There is power Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Woo! To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
There is power.
Come on. Come on, you declare it.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
There is power.
There is power.
God, in Jesus' name, I praise you once again for our army, for our building, to fight the good fight, for choosing each one of us to participate in your glory. I thank you for our brothers, for our sisters, that the devil cannot sustain, cannot stop from serving or loving. Thank you, God, for each day anointed by your Spirit that is compromised with you to give you all the glory it is like. Thank you for this gathering. Thank you for calling me. Participate in your army to fight for your glory. Thank you for your sacrifice in that cross. And may you bless us all and guide us all tonight to what you have separated for us. Bless your servants, Curtis and Marcus, that you bring your word, your teaching, your children. In Yahushua's name, in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Michael, I have here your word. I'm going just to call our brothers to see if it's okay. I just have one number here. Let me see who is here. Hello, am I talking to?
This is Brother Marcus.
Hi, Brother Marcus, how are you?
I'm blessed and looking forward to fellowshipping with you and the saints tonight. They're listening in and got some good things to share. And I believe you said you only had one number on the board.
Yes. Let me check if I can fix this. I'm going to make some magic here. Okay, hold on. Okay, get another one here. Let me see if you can hear me.
Hello there, my brother.
Hey, how are you?
Good, my brother. It's good to be back in the house of the Lord and here with my family. Amen.
Amen. We're in a family. We are the family of the Lamb. Okay, Brother Marcus, before we answer on the what God is bringing with your words, I want to read some words here that Michael sent us. I think it's a prophetic word that our sister Diana, she wants to share with us, okay? Just give me
Amen.
2 minutes. Let me see if I can read this. Oh, okay. I don't know. Okay, I'm going to read what he made here. The Council of the Wicked is defeated already. The only thing that they can do is make an illusion in your mind. The alarm goes out. It has already gone out, and you hear it. We are joined by the Holy Spirit in a covenant relationship, brother. The enemy assembles an army that is not to be feared. All shall bend their knee, or come unto the subjection of the Lion of Judah,
yes,
the Son of God, my King, who sits at the right hand of the Father and returns. He does not come to claim a weak and cowering bride. He comes to claim a glorious bride, without spot and wrinkle, prepared and equipped. You are the warriors and yet meek. You are those who answer the call and say yes. You will be equipped. Do not worry how. Just say yes. Just say yes. Sing Zion, sing. Proclaim that he is coming. Welcome the King of Kings with your heart.
Yes.
And you are deadly to the enemy. You will be called to things you cannot even fathom at the moment. But it will happen. And the only thing standing between you and the will of our fathers is your own sovereign will. Mighty warriors, rise up. Take the mantle you are given and sing Zion. Sing Zion, mighty man of valor, not for hire, but given over to the kingdom, lesser and meek, and yet might and strong. You are the bride of Christ. He does not claim a weak and cowering bride. There are those of you there who wonder at your kingdom purpose, realizing you must rise to the occasion, yet not even knowing how. Some of you haven't even taken the step to give you your will to the Lord, to rend your heart and not your garment. You need to know that an entire army is being called out, chosen for such a time as this. My army is not ready yet. They have never seen that what I will be in front of them. It is as they step in faith toward banishing it in my name that the courage and the ability will come and will straighten. You are standing now, some on one foot, some leaning, some ready. But even you're ready, it's feeble what I will make you to be. You are mighty in me, says the Lord, to the pulling down the strongholds. You are mighty in me, to banishing the enemy with one word. You are ready, only in Him. There's a word from Michael that he sent to read to the army. So, pick up. It's your show, brother. You have the direction of the Holy Spirit.
Well, thank you, Brother Jose, and I just welcome that word tonight, because we are in a time and season that we indeed need to hear the word of the Lord. And part of that prophetic word spoke of the army in preparation. We are in preparation to come into a full readiness and a full equipping to be able to engage the enemy face-to-face, without fear, without intrepidation, with total boldness by the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And I got some scriptures tonight that, in fact, I'm going to have Brother Curtis help me here in just a moment. But Brother Jose, just about 15 minutes ago, as I was listening to the praise and worship on your program, the Spirit of the Lord came to me, and He brought to my mind a scripture that I had not thought about in reference tonight. The title is called Wisdom for Warriors, but I had not thought about this particular scripture, but the Holy Ghost brought this to my remembrance, and so I went to the scripture and looked this particular scripture up, and I heard the word of the Lord come to me saying that tonight this is a scripture that has the power of impartation. There's going to be an impartation by the Holy Spirit to everyone tonight that would hear, believe, and receive what this scripture says. It's profound. It's a word that Jesus Himself spoke, and I believe that we need the power of this impartation in our lives tonight. And so I'm going to read this scripture, and then I'm going to ask the Father to allow me to release that impartation to the listeners tonight. And I think you'll see the timeliness of this scripture as I read it. The scripture the Lord gave me tonight was in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verse 15. And Brother Jose, in that context, if you read the scriptures prior to verse 15, you find that Jesus is speaking prophetically of the times that we are in now. He speaks of great earthquakes, sights, and great signs from the heaven. He talks about persecution. But in verse 15, this is the scripture that I want to read tonight and release to the people, to the listeners. Jesus said, "For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist." Now that is a powerful promise from Jesus to His remnant believers. He said, "I'll give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist." Now, Brother Jose, we both know that we're in a time we're going to see increased persecution against true believers in Jesus. We'll have adversaries that will be there to betray, vex, harass, torment, and cause all kinds of trials and tests for real, genuine believers. But in the midst of that, Jesus said, "I'll give you a mouth and wisdom." And before I do anything else, I want to just simply, with the Father's grace and ability, release an impartation tonight of this wisdom to those that are listening in tonight. We will need this in days ahead. We need this now, and more so in days ahead.
Mm-hmm.
So, our great Father, the eternal and sovereign God, Lord, we look at the words that your Son Jesus spoke. And these words are spirit and life to those who have ears to hear and eyes to see. And tonight, we thank you, Father, that you're giving every one of us that's listening tonight with a believing heart and a receiving heart the mouth that you said that you would give us to speak the word of the Lord, an uncompromised word. And Lord, you said through your Son, you would not only give us a mouth, but also wisdom to the warriors that are truly called, the good soldiers of Jesus Christ, to stand in these end days. And Lord, I'm reminded even now by the Holy Spirit that as we approach what is to be celebrated as Easter or Resurrection Sunday, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, we will release wisdom that people will not be deceived to believe that this weekend is to be a time when we celebrate pagan idolatry, Easter eggs and bunny rabbits and all these other things that the enemy has substituted for the reality of the simplistic message of resurrected Jesus, his resurrection. He is now seated at the right hand of the Father because he was raised up from the dead, crucified but raised from the dead. And Father, we release every spirit that would try to lure and try to deceive and try to attach it to the minds of believers this weekend, that they will celebrate nothing but the pure, uncompromised, resurrected Jesus. They'll not be taken into idolatry. They'll have the wisdom to discern and see that these things are of the enemy. Institutionalized religion and, Father, all these other pagan things that has crept into the body of Christ. Lord, we thank you. We have wisdom to see and discern for what these things really are, and that we will not partake of the cup of the devil and the cup of the Lord. We will only partake of the cup of the Lord. We will only receive truth in our inner man, in our inward parts, and we will not be held captive by the bondages of deceiving spirits or doctrines of demons, but we will have the wisdom to know and understand that true wisdom is found in Jesus. In him is all the treasures of wisdom. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father, for wisdom now, and we would, by faith, receive this impartation through the Holy Ghost tonight into hearing ears and believing hearts. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, Brother Jose, before I share anything else, I'm going to ask Brother Curtis to read a scripture. It's found in the book of James, and this is going to be a foundational scripture tonight for all, what I want to share as we release some very timely alerts and warnings to the warriors. So, Brother Curtis, if you would go ahead and read that scripture.
All right. Which one are you referring to, James?
James chapter 1, verse 5, I believe it is.
All right. James chapter 1, verse 5 in the King James Version, it says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and uprighteth not, and it shall be given him."
Amen. Thank you, Brother Curtis. Brother Curtis, go ahead and just take a moment to share what you believe the Lord is speaking in that scripture to the listeners tonight. And then I want to take you to a scripture in 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 16. You that are listening tonight, if you want to turn there, 2 Samuel 21, 16, there's a very profound alert and warning here that I want to share tonight that I think is so timely. But Brother Curtis, take a moment to share with you, or your listeners tonight, and Brother Jose's family tonight on the radio, about the importance of God's wisdom.
Yes. Well, one of the first thing that comes to my mind is I do believe it's Saul, King Saul, or Solomon. Whenever the Lord asked him, whenever God asked him, he said, "Well, I will give you anything that you desire. You know, what is it that you ask of me?" And he said, "I want wisdom." And he's like, "I want wisdom. I want your wisdom." And God said, I will grant this to you, and I will give you wisdom, wisdom that will confound the wise, because you have asked of these things and not riches and not this and not that. Well, whenever the thing that comes to my mind regarding wisdom is, especially in the times that we're coming in, it is very much so important to have God's wisdom on how to deal with things instead of our own natural understanding of things. Because as you can tell back then with King Saul is whenever he said, whenever he asked for wisdom, you know, the Lord basically said, you know, very well, you know, thank you for asking for that instead of riches. Well, again, you know, that pertains to whenever Jesus said, don't store your riches up here here on the earthly realm where moths and robbers and thieves, you know, all can take them, or they could disappear. But, you know, the most important thing is to be able to have godly wisdom and to deal with the things that are going to be happening within this, whenever the time period is. You know, wisdom is better than riches, in my opinion. Whenever you get to have the wisdom of the Lord and really get a chance to know who God is and know his thoughts and know what he has instructions for you when in season. So I do believe that's what that scripture pertains to me anyhow, Brother Marcus.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Curtis. Brother Jose, is there anything that you would like to add to that before I go to 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 16?
Well, I just want to energize what Curtis said, because in Proverbs 9:10 says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of the wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So I guess Curtis was saying, that in the beginning of everything, the most thing that we have to learn, that if we had wisdom that the Lord brings to our life,
yes,
we have the instrument to build our life according to the will of God. If we don't act that wisdom, we can be deceived by other wisdoms, but not that it come not from the Lord. So what I think that Curtis was touching in a point that is essential. The beginning of everything of our relationship with God must be founded, must be solid in the wisdom of the Lord. Knowing the Lord is the beginning.
Amen, brother. Well said. And one of the words of wisdom that I want to share with the listeners tonight who are warriors, who are good soldiers in Jesus, who are being prepared by putting on daily the whole armor of God. There's a scripture in 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 16, that I think that we need to be aware of as warriors. Remember in scripture that Goliath was oppressing the people of Israel, and Saul was bewildered about what to do about it, and amen, David come forth in a most unlikely candidate to slay the giant in the eyes of men. But in the eyes of God, David had wisdom beyond the wisdom of Saul and beyond even Saul's soldiers. And he said, I will go and I will slay the giant. Just give me the opportunity. And then as he stepped forward, Saul tried to cause David to put on his armor. Armor that David recognized was not suited for him, armor that he did not need because he had wisdom beyond the coat of mail and the other tools that Saul tried to afford him to slay Goliath. David was victorious because he came to Goliath in the name of the Lord of hosts. And we who are warriors today, we have been, amen, equipped through the power of the Holy Spirit, the anointing of Jesus himself, the name of Jesus, the Word of God, to slay the giants that are in the land. We don't have to be afraid of the giants in the land. We, by the help and grace of God and the wisdom of God, can slay them just like David did. And David had been trained in warfare because he killed, amen, the bear, he killed the lion, and then he slew Goliath. But in 2 Samuel chapter 21, verse 16, we find something interesting here, that every worship warrior, every remnant soldier needs to hear and understand. Verse 16 said, "And Ishbi-Benob, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David." So here we find that David had slain Goliath. But now, amen, we see that there's another giant, which is described further down in verse 20. And this new giant had a new sword. And Brother Jose, one of the things that the Spirit of God impressed upon me tonight and to share with the warriors is this wisdom here. We may have killed our bear, we may have killed the lion, we may have killed a Goliath. But understand this and be aware that even though you may have been used of God to slay a Goliath, there's always another giant out there that has a new sword. You see, Satan has fashioned a lot of new swords against the Davids of our day today. He's fashioned new swords against the warriors who want to demolish strongholds. And so every time that we conquer, by God's grace and God's wisdom, a Goliath, a giant, understand this one thing. Please be aware that there's always another giant in the shadows. And that giant may have a new sword. And that new sword may represent transhumanism. It may represent fallen angel technology. Whatever that new sword might be, we need to be prepared for the next battle. And we must not be, amen, weak in our ability to discern another battle, another giant that's laying in wait for the adversary to try to use to take us out or take us down. He might try to use that sword which was thought to take out David and have slain David. But understand this, you through the power of the Holy Spirit, you that are listening tonight, you that have received an impartation of wisdom from Jesus, you have the ability to slay every giant that comes your way. You don't have to be fearful. You don't have to be afraid. And that giant can bring that sword in so many ways and fashions because he will fashion a new sword for a new season, a new fight, a new battle. But irrespective of that, you don't have to be afraid. We can always have the victory in Jesus. God did not give you a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So let Satan fashion any sword that he wants to, but you, through the wisdom of God, will be given wisdom and a mouth to speak with wisdom that they cannot resist nor gainsay. They can't resist it because it's the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is Jesus himself, is what Paul said in Scripture in the epistles. So I'm excited tonight, Brother Jose, that no matter what giant comes, be they Goliath or be it Ishbi-Benob or whatever modified hybrid type demon or devil that comes our way, we, through the wisdom of God, have the ability to discern his person, his nature, and his tactics and slay him just like David did in the name of the Lord, because we don't come with Saul's armor. We don't come with our intellect or our ability. We come in the name of the Lord of hosts. And in that name we will conquer. In that name we will overcome. And in that name we will stand strong. So I'm excited tonight, Brother Jose, because, amen, we have a sword that is greater than any other sword, even a new sword that an enemy might fashion. We have the sword of the Lord. We have the word of God. And even Jesus is portrayed in the book of Revelation with a two-edged sword coming out of his mouth. We need to have the same mouth and the same sword that Jesus had, and we can have it because that is our spiritual inheritance. That's part of our weapons from the Lord's armory. That is our inheritance as a believer in Jesus, to be given tools to destroy and demolish the strongholds of the devil. That's good news, Brother Jose.
Yes, sir. Brother Marcus, I want to emphasize here something that U.S. started talking. But I'm going to put here the in Portuguese and also in English in the chat room the scripture that I'm going to talk. It's Proverbs 15:33. And I think it's important for people to understand what we want to give all meat to our brothers. We want to prepare the saints. So we have to feed him with the best meat, not the worst, the best. And I know that God keeps the best for the end of the days or the end of the party. And in Canaan, the best lion was reserved for. So I think that we must give him the best. The people are here. They want to hear your voice, because what I've put in the chat room, it talks Proverbs 15:33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. And before honor, it's humility. You know why people, at the end of the day, after so much noise, are here to hear your voice, Brother Marcus? That's because God has honored you, because before you are honored, you show to everybody what is being humble. So I want to tell this because this is a lesson for others. Not because I am flattering you. I don't need to flatter you. I'm just saying the truth. The reason that God brought you to this alliance with our ministry, because God has told us you will brought the elite one. I want to think about this, Brother Marcus and family. God resists the vanity, and God honored the humble. When you hear the preaching of this man, after one completely day assisting people in the hospital, and you hear his voice speaking with so much love of our Father, what do you feel? What do you feel in your heart that you cannot do? If you have such an example of warrior, spiritual warrior, that is on your side, on the front line. I feel when you speak the living scripture inside of me, you see, you are a living scripture because your life is a living scripture. You are not just someone who hears the word. You live the word. Not the word, the word, the word. You live the word in your life. That's why Jesus lives in you. You are not the only one, but you are the one that Jesus brought to walk with us in the front line. So I want the people to think about this, because if we just look for the letters, we will be dry.
Yes.
I want you to understand this. Even our Bible, even our word, Rhema word of God, has been so much time changed through the generation and the translation that you must depend on the anointment of the Holy Spirit in first place to give you the wisdom to understand what the Spirit of the Word is trying to tell you. Let me give you an example, and I will pass you again the show. When in the New Testament, translated by, for example, Ephesians 3:7, when Paul says, "In which I was made a minister by the gift of the grace of God, which was given me according to the working of his power." Ephesians 3:7. The word minister there is bad translation. As what is in the original Greek is diakon. Diakon, it means deacon. But when, for example, it means, it refers to Jesus, like in Hebrews 8:2, minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. Hebrews 8:2. The word minister, it is another origin in Greek. It means liturgy. So, we must understand that what we have as a word, as a Bible, not always make us see everything that the Spirit wants us to see. When Paul refers to himself as a minister, and it was translated as a minister, it means the deacon. Deacon is someone by the dictionary, it's a cleric who has no more than the second of sacred orders, and those office is to assist the celebrant at the altar. So Paul, when refers to him, he refers to him as a deacon, as a servant of Jesus Christ. Yeah. And when he talks about the minister of Jesus Christ, he says minister later on. But this we cannot see if we don't have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, digging the all truth in us, and forcing us to go further, to seek all the truth, we cannot see these details. But when the Spirit, when we live, the Spirit guides us, He makes us humble and reach all the truth. Paul never talked that he was a minister, as today we hear so much people saying, I am a minister, I am an anointed one, I am. No, Paul knew what he was in Christ. He was a deacon of Jesus Christ, of the tabernacle. You see, Brother Marcus, that is what the Holy Spirit makes us see in people like you. Even when we don't know these details on the world, was changed. They cannot change the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit points to you. Because before the honor comes the humility. You are so humble, so gracious in your love to the Lord that I felt that I need to say this. You are a deacon of Jesus Christ. And what a honor we can say that we have amongst us a real deacon of Jesus Christ like you.
Well, bless you, Brother Jose. And, you know, I believe that that same grace applies to Brother Curtis, because we indeed truly desire to be not known of men. We want to be known of God. And we want to be known of God because we love Him and we know He loves us. We're not seeking, you know, notoriety. We're not seeking any other thing except to glorify Jesus and to bring the
may I just interject something that you said now? Just in two words. Brother Curtis is a privileged man for being now is being instructed to be your deacon. He is a deacon of Jesus Christ that is learning with you, and what a privilege. I wonder how much trouble I would have not have in my life if I had someone like you, Brother Marcus, beside me to teach me how to be humble. But I didn't. So Brother Curtis is a chosen vessel of God to be your deacon now. One day he will instruct so much children of God, because he has learned from the best, that is you. That is, he has so much love to be a son in faith of a great servant, a humble deacon of Jesus Christ, like you, Brother Mark.
Well, again, I thank you, and I know Curtis, you know, blesses you for that too. And there's no greater privilege than to be a father. You know, Moses was a mighty man of God, but he had Joshua as his minister, as his servant. The Apostle Paul had Timothy as a spiritual son who served him. Elijah had Elisha as his spiritual son who served him. And I think today that the church has forgotten the power of fatherhood in the Bible as a means of reaching our inheritance, because no person is a self-made man. And I don't despise Curtis's youth, because, you know, the Bible teaches us. Paul said to Timothy, let no man despise your youth. You know, Timothy was a young man who had a lot of believers in the church that he was assigned to, but some did not appreciate the fact that, you know, he was young and they thought they knew more than he did. But Paul saw the investment, the impartation, the anointing that came through his hands and the hands of Presbyterian and the words of prophecy spoken over Timothy. And so God is raising up, you know, young Curtis in a mighty fashion also as well. And it's an honor to be his father, and it's an honor to have him as a son. And Brother Curtis, if you want to make a comment on that before I go to the next scripture, please just...
Well, I thank you, Brother Jose. It definitely
That's very
is a blessing
humble.
To be to be under mentorship of Brother Marcus. But as far as you know, it has its good days and it has its challenging days, especially whenever you have a soul as stubborn as mine, Brother Jose. And if it wasn't for Brother Marcus really sitting there and again beginning to have God's wisdom on how to deal with me, because I truly do believe it was God who gave him the wisdom on how to deal with me and a lot of the things I was contending with coming into the Lord. And, you know, because of God's grace, you know, Brother Marcus was very gracious to be able to work with me in patience, bit by bit. And there's some still some things that he does need to continue working on me with, you know. But I thank God for him, Brother Jose. I thank God for Brother Marcus and all that he's taught me and showed me through example. So thank you.
Well, thank you, Brother Curtis.
Yes, brother.
It's very humbling. Thank you. Go ahead, Jose.
Brother Curtis, the same way that I say that you are a privileged man to have a mentor like Brother Marcus, because I know what kind of mentors I have to overcome, the same way I say that Brother Marcus sees in you a fountain of inspiration, you see? Because I know what it means to have a son in the faith to present to the Lord. Not because he is proud, not because it's pride, because it's the joy of the Lord. And we can present ourselves to the King. The talents that we have multiplied. Now I know that the same way that he's proud of you, you are proud of Brother Mark. Okay, so I am not trying to say that someone is bigger than the other. No, I'm saying that it's a circle. It is something that is complete. So we must fight to make it still complete. You understand me?
That was very well said, Brother Jose. And you know, I just appreciate the wisdom that you just spoke, because, and when a father sees his son, just as Elijah chose Elisha when he was out plowing his father's field, through the eyes of God, he saw something in Elisha that God wanted to get a hold of and use for his purpose. And when you see that transfer complete, that mentoring and discipling process complete in the plans and purposes of God, you look at Elisha's life. He ended up doing twice the amount of miracles that his spiritual father did. And as a spiritual father, I want to see Brother Curtis come into his fullness, his full maturity, his complete full mantle. Whether I'm here or not, I want to see him be raised up by God. And the gifts and graces that he has, combined with what the Lord has imparted to him through, you know, this mantle and this ministry, he's going to be a mighty man of God, and the devil's going to have a big headache to contend with when Curtis comes walking in the grace and maturity of Jesus. It's men like yourself, Jose, that inspire young men as well. You have no idea tonight probably what you have just said that has really stirred and fanned the fire in Curtis's heart to continue to patiently serve the Lord, to learn and to mature and to embrace, you know, the things of God, because, you know, he's going to be in the time of great warfare. He's going to be seeing things that most ministers of, you know, of more years than he has on his life has not seen yet in the days ahead, because this is, in fact, that brings me to my next scripture. Yes, in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 5, and the prophet Isaiah here is speaking of battle in verse 5. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 5 says this, "For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood, and this shall be with burning and the fuel of fire." Now, what that scripture is saying, when Isaiah the prophet speaks of confused noise, it refers to the heat of the battle. Because when you're engaged in battle and warfare, in that type of battle time that they were in, you had shouting, you had crying, you had screaming, you had moaning, you had groaning, you had sounds of horses and clashing metal that filled the air like a rumbling noise of traffic. So that confused noise that Prophet Isaiah spoke about in Isaiah 9:5 is the heat of the battle. And we're coming into the time when we're going to be right in the midst of the heat of the battle. But our warrior, our chief commander, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is described in the Bible as the man of war, the Lord of war, he's going to be fighting through us and in us, and he'll cause us to have the victory. But a warrior that's in a battle like that, when all the noise is going on, when all the shouting and screaming and clashing and fighting is taking place, the warrior must never concentrate on the noise. He must not concentrate on the sounds of battle, because, you know, you'll lose your sight of the battle strategy. God has a strategy for every battle that he assigns us to. And let me say this, warriors, don't engage in a battle that God didn't call you to. Don't fight in a battle that he did not choose you to fight. Let the Lord pick your fights, rather than being presumptuous and thinking that you can fight every fight and go into any and every battle. The Lord didn't call you to go into any and every battle. Let God choose your battles. Let him choose your fights. Because he has, when he chooses a battle for you, he'll give you a strategy to win, not to lose, not to embrace defeat, not to become fearful, but to win. God is a strategist. Our Father, Abba Father, is a strategist when it comes to warfare. And so when we're engaged in a battle, you're going to find many voices that's wanting to tell you their secret to win your battle. You may have friends who are fellow believers, and they may have, you know, had some battles. They may have successfully overcome, you know, personal battles, but you cannot even depend or lean or give yourself totally to their wisdom. You must look to the wisdom of the Lord for your battle. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. When you fear the Lord, you will seek him, trust him, and obey him when he shows you a strategy, amen, to win a battle. So thank God for your brothers and sisters who have overcome battles, who have been successful. But it doesn't mean that their voice will be able to instruct you in how to win your battle. Every battle to a degree is different. Your battle is not like your brother's battle, your sister's battle. It's a unique battle. And Satan will often suit his strategy based upon his knowledge of your life, your strengths, your weaknesses. And again, remember, Saul tried to offer, you know, David his armor. If David had been, amen, and even though Saul was a warrior, you know, in fact, the women of Israel sang, "Saul has slain his thousands, but David his 10,000s. So Saul was a warrior. He had been successful. But David knew by the wisdom of God that he couldn't put on Saul's armor and slay Goliath. We need to discern, amen, what armor, what tactic, what strategy, what tool, what weapon the Father wants us to give us in every battle. So don't depend upon Saul. Don't depend upon, amen, other successful techniques. You know, depend on the wisdom that God gives you in your immediate battle, because it's going to be quite hot and heavy. And in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 5, it talks about, you know, the bloodied garments, and it talks about the fuel of fire. Well, the bloodied garments is the armor that had gotten beat up, dented, and blood on it throughout the battle, and they put the actual garments in the fire and burned them. And what that's telling us prophetically, Brother Jose, is that our battles and our beatings, we're to endure those. And those battles and beatings that we take should become fuel that ignites the burning desire to win the war. It shouldn't defeat us. It shouldn't dissuade us from engaging in the battle and finishing the war. Yes, you will take some brunts. You will take some beatings in spiritual warfare. But take those bloodied garments and put them in the fire, and let that fire of the Holy Ghost ignite you with passion that will cause you to take the war to the front lines and continue as a good soldier of Jesus. Let your dents, because you're going to get dents in your armor, but let those dents become your drive to destroy the enemy, to destroy the oppressor, to destroy the demons and these devilish strongholds. And even your pain that you encounter when you're going through a spiritual battle, you can turn that to power, because every time that you get a wound, it's an opportunity to receive God's authority in the place that you received the wound in, even as he uses his balm of Gilead to heal that. Your pounding can, amen, turn into, amen, grounding the devil. Your breakdown can be turned into a breakthrough for yourself and for your whole crew, for your whole house, your whole family. So, warriors tonight, let your dents become your determination to devastate the enemy. Amen. Yes, you're going to take some, amen, punches. You're going to take some, amen, afflictions. But my God is faithful. For to the righteous and to the faithful, he will deliver us out of all of our afflictions. He will deliver us in the intensity of the battle. He will, amen, baptize us with passion and power to go ahead and take the fight to the front line and finish what we started. One thing that God said to me was tonight, he said, Jesus was the author and the finisher of our faith. And to many that are listening tonight, God is releasing, because you've already started the race. You've started in this. But God is releasing to you a finishing anointing, that you will let him finish what he started. Yes, you've started out. You've ran the race. You've got tired, you've got beaten, you've got bruised, and some have fallen, but you've gotten back up. By the Spirit of God, he raised you back up. You didn't give up, and you're going on, and you're going to take the battle to the gate, and you are going to win, because God is going to show you how, amen, to turn every breakdown into a breakthrough, every bump into a lump on the adversary's head. Glory to God. That's good news, Brother Jose.
Amen. Amen. I don't know if Brother Curtis wants to comment before I have a story to tell you about what you said, but before that, let us hear what Curtis has to say.
Brother Curtis.
Go ahead, my brother, go ahead. I'm just sitting back in autopilot mode right now. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to tell this because I know that people in chat room and myself, we want to hear Curtis laugh. So, Regal, about what you said about the punches and the kick that we take on the path to the wisdom, I remember while you were talking, in the early months that I was a young, a reborn, a new creature in Christ, I was in that first love, and I thought I would save all the world, you see. It's normal. We are in the first love, and we think that we are the super believer. We change everything. And we have a faith as a child, you see. We are innocent, but we think that we can change everything. And we don't have the true wisdom, the true prudence that God wants to teach us, that make us wise. So one day I was I had sold just a few coins, and I was hungry, and I went to a chocolate mall, and the only thing I could buy was a bag of peanuts. I think it was a peanut. So I spent all my money there. But I was going to eat that peanuts with joy, you see, because it would make stop my hunger. When I opened the bag, I opened and I saw that the peanuts, they were green. They were not good,
wow.
Let's say. So, but I didn't have more money. And I thought to myself, well, what? I don't have any more money. Well, I have God in me. God stays in the world, because you see that's the experience that makes us strong. I didn't understand it was a trap from the enemy. You see, I said, okay, God said that if I hit something, it will not cause me harm. I don't want to throw this away. I have spent my money. Well, and I hit all the peanuts. They were green. They were not. They were the date was trespassed. Okay, so, but I knew what I was doing. Okay, I will trust in God. Well, I didn't understand, but I was tempting God. You see, so the rest of the story is all night long on the bathroom. You see, so what am I trying to tell with this story? Is that what doesn't kill you makes you wise or stronger.
Amen.
So sometimes when God let us take some punch, take some kick in our head, it's for our own good. Because He wants us to make us wise.
Yes.
So the only thing that we must understand is that we must bring wisdom from every experience, like in that scripture you said, all the mantle with the blood, all the shoes of the warrior, they serve only to the fire. Because
yes,
if you survive the fight, you are ready to another one. That's our
Amen.
Father. Our Father is the captain of the host. He's not
yes.
the captain of the geishas. No, he's the captain of the host, the warriors, the angels. He wants to make you a warrior. So fear, it's an option of you. There is danger. There is an enemy.
Yes.
But fear, it's us to decide if we accept it. Because even if we fail, God raises again. He raises a death. How can he not raise it? Even if we fail with lack of wisdom like myself. So think about this, my brother and my sister, that you're thinking that you have so much yet to understand and to learn. That's the joy. That's the joy of the walking. Because you are going to learn with pain, with suffering. But the question here that I have learned in 20 years serving my Lord, and I know Brother Marx understands this, the much you suffer, the much you need to fight for getting something, the most value you give to this in your future.
Yes.
It's not psychology, it's wisdom of God.
Amen.
Do you agree, brother?
Yes, brother. I thank God for His faithfulness, because I should probably try to write a book sometime, but I really don't want to be honest. But I've encountered things and suffered things that through that suffering, sometimes it was demonic attack. Sometimes it's because I missed the mark. I made bad choices, and I learned a hard lesson. And God was faithful, though, to keep me on the mark, to keep me with His thumb in my back, pressing me on to spiritual maturity. And I can only give God praise and give him all the glory and cry, Abba, Father, because of his faithfulness to me in times of teaching me. And one of the things that I had to contend with, because I started serving the Lord when I was only 15 years old, started at the age of 15, you know, serving Jesus. I preached my first sermon when I was 15 and a half. 6 months after I got saved, I preached my first sermon. And I had people that was, you know, more mature than myself, you know, to some degree, and they were, you know, really not for sure. They thought I was just a young man that had a lot of zeal. But the Lord, with that zeal, gave me some knowledge. And I had to take to heart the same words that the Apostle Paul spoke to Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, Paul told Timothy, he said, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and purity." Because there was a spirit of intimidation that tried to attack Timothy. And I believe tonight that many that are listening tonight, the adversaries tried to intimidate them in respect to their call and their anointing and their mantle and their spiritual inheritance. Well, Timothy was experiencing a spirit of intimidation because some of the elders of the church that he was assigned to thought he was too young and too inexperienced to be in ministry. And there may be some people thinking that, well, Curtis has only been saved for 4 years. He might be a little bit too young or inexperienced. But I've heard Curtis preach. I've seen him minister. Others have seen him minister, and he's got wisdom already beyond his years. And I don't say that to boast in him. I say that to boast in the Lord, because it's the wisdom of God. It's the grace of God. It's the power of God. It's the anointing of God. So Paul had to remind Timothy of the gifts that was given to him in presbytery. That's found also in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. And then Paul told Timothy, he said, "I want you to use in warfare that you're going through the very prophetic words that the Lord himself gave you." You see, Paul, amen, and some other believers ministered to Timothy in a prophetic presbytery. And that's where more than two or three called and chosen anointed vessels gather together, lay hands upon a person, and prophesy the word of the Lord over them about their life and release spiritual gifts into them. And in fact, that scripture in 1 Timothy 4:14 says, "Neglect not the gift that is in thee." And here's Paul talking to Timothy, "which was given to you, Timothy, by prophecy with the laying on the hands of the presbytery." So personal prophecy can be a weapon, Brother Jose, that we use in warfare against the devil, because when the devil tries to come at us directly, or he tries to intimidate us and bring fear to us through other, you know, human beings, we can remind the devil, "Look, devil, this is what the word of the Lord said. This is what the Father said by the Holy Spirit to me about my life, my call, my anointing, my mantle." And we're not boasting in ourselves. We're boasting in what the Father has spoken. And so Paul shared this spiritual pearl of wisdom to the young warrior Timothy to keep him from being overwhelmed by intimidation or fear. Now, Paul was an apostle, but in that prophetic presbytery, there were prophets that also gave a true, you know, a sure word from the Lord. And Brother Jose, let me make this clear to the listeners tonight. When a true prophet is called of God to prophesy, he does not prophesy for gain. He does not prophesy for money. He does not prophesy for popularity. He cannot be bought and he cannot be sold. He is simply depending upon the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the voice of the Lord speaking through him, and that prophet is very considerate about releasing a word in the right time, the right season, not being presumptuous in the delivery of that word. There are times that when the Lord moves me to prophesy, I have to be aware of his timing. He may give me a word, but it may not be the right time to deliver that word. When I first, you know, met Curtis and his friends who were hitchhiking, the Lord gave me a word for him as soon as he and his friends got in my vehicle. But I did not end up prophesying the word of the Lord to them or to him until 2 weeks later because the timing was not right. God had to bring Curtis through some situations, through some more tests, through some more trials to where he was really ready to hear the word of the Lord. And I'm going to let Brother Curtis touch on this. Brother Curtis, can you know, if you want to tell Jose and the listeners tonight, when you were going through that two-week time frame before I prophesied the word of the Lord to you, and to God be all the glory because it's his word, not mine, but you knew that you had to connect with this voice, with this person that you didn't know. And you want to elaborate on that and tell them why that prophetic word was so important to you, Curtis?
Yeah, well, first of all, I'd like to say God put me through the pit before I heard that. and, yes, looking back now, because that's whenever the Bible always talks about, you know, your testimony, you know, the power of your testimony. He overcame, you know, the wiles of the devil by the power of his testimony. Yes, I have used the prophetic word that, you know, the Lord gave me, the first prophetic word I've ever received in my life as a weapon. But you must understand that where I was at that point in my time, in my life, whenever Marcus first saw me and my friends walking, I was seeking, I was searching, and yes, I was ready. But there was still some key things that the Lord had to do in my life to fully allow me to be fully open to everything and I mean, everything that the Lord was wanting to deposit in my life at that current point in time.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, Saints, it's not fun coming to the end of yourself. If whenever the Bible talks about quick obedience, well, I'll tell you, quick obedience is a lot better than stubbornness. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you this. but no, I thank God for that experience because if it wasn't for that, you know, if it wasn't for that week-long process of the Lord preparing my heart and preparing his vessel, because it's not me, it's his. My body is his body, like, let's face it. His vessel here, I'm not boasting up my own head, so please, y'all, don't get me wrong. I'm still a young person in the Lord. I still delight in my youthfulness, so to speak. I love being young at heart, so I don't claim no titles. I don't claim nothing except for a servant of the Lord, and that's it. But he did allow certain things in my life to break loose and break free so that what he had to deposit in me was truly taken to heart. And, you know, I thank God for it each and every day, Brother Marcus. And the word that you gave me, the word that the Lord released through you was a very impacting word at that time in my life. You know, I've never heard anything like that. I never even knew about anything like that, that could happen, that people, you know, can really hear from the voice of God. And it touched my life in a way where I was like, whoa, was not expecting this.
Well, Brother Curtis, let me just interject something here real quick, too, because people need to understand, you know, the Father's care about us. And one way he reveals that is by speaking a prophetic word through a person or even someone who's a prophet in that particular office. But the reason the word of the Lord is important, you know, and again, the Apostle Paul knew this, and he brought this to Timothy's attention. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, Paul said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course, and I have kept my faith." Now, the key word there that I want to focus on is my course, or it was the course that the Lord had called him to. When Paul first met Jesus, and he was knocked, you know, off his transportation, and Saul was turned into the Apostle Paul by the grace of God. But I believe it was one of the believers that had prayed for him and also spoke some things. And then the Lord Jesus appeared, amen, to Paul and talked about the suffering that he would have to endure. But there was a course. There was a pathway. There was a journey. There was a destiny that was set into Paul's life by a prophetic word and by a visitation of the Lord. And when prophets prophesy, when a true prophet prophesies to you, it can set your course in life. It can declare to you the pathway, the order, the walk, the mantle, the call that God wants you to come into. Now, you can receive it or you can not receive it. And thank God, you know, Curtis received it, because when the truth is known, not only was Curtis in there in the vehicle when I was prophesying to him, but his best friend was also there in the vehicle. He heard the same prophetic word. This other young man had the same opportunity to receive Jesus. And Curtis, I'm going to let you share what happened and just, you know, emphasize why it's important to receive the word of the Lord when it's spoken to you, and because there's consequences if we don't. And
yes, and well, before I touch on that, this goes back to another, to the whole topic of our show is about having wisdom. Another word for wisdom is knowledge, the word of knowledge, so to speak. And this is what it's going to really take to reach those in these coming times, brothers and sisters, is to be able to have that relationship, to be able to know God's voice on a day-to-day basis. I just wanted to touch on that real quick. And what Brother Marcus was just now sharing with you is there are consequences that come. You know, to whom much is given, much is required. You know, I know it's the same age-old discussion that, well, God gave us a free will and this and that, and we do what I want. Nah. Either you accept or you reject. And there's consequences whenever you reject the true word from the Lord. And I'm not saying by all means, you know, God is not an unjust God. Let's just put it this way. But during that process, there was another friend with me, and I'm not going to mention his name, but there was a friend with me in the vehicle at that time, and you know, he heard the exact same thing I did. And what that was, I come later to understand, is that he had the same opportunity to enter into the same call and the same path that I did. You know, me and him could have walked side to side in this whole endeavor. I mean, each and every step. Right now, my friend would still be here if he chose to accept the word of the Lord and the true voice of God. You know, I don't know how many times God spoke to him. You know, it says once, twice, or thrice. You know, I don't know how many times God has spoke to him previously. You know, I don't know the path that, you know, prior things, but I did know that he chose to reject the true call of God on his life. And unfortunately, shortly after that, you know, his life was cut short. And I do believe that if he were to beckon or hearken his ear to the things of God, to God's voice, he would still be here. He would still be here with me. And matter of fact, he would be here on this radio show with us. Now, by all means, I'm not saying that God is a mean God and he took him out because just in spite of, you know, no, God, he does things that, you know, who his thoughts are above my thoughts. I don't know why he does what he does, but I know that all I can speak from is past experiences and, you know, what I've come to learn from that there are consequences whenever the Lord says to do and you don't.
Well, Brother Jose, I'm glad that Brother Curtis received the word of the Lord, because if he had not received the word of the Lord at that time that he did, I have no doubt in my mind that when this other young man lost his life was taken. He had an opportunity. It wasn't the Lord that took his life. It was the devil. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, is what Jesus said in John 10:10. Jesus came to give life, an abundant life. But this young man rejected what the Lord said. Curtis accepted what the Lord said. That was the difference. And there's many out there tonight. You need to understand that God is speaking certain things to you. Please be obedient to what the Father speaks to you. Don't despise the word of the Lord. Don't diminish the word of the Lord. Don't resist the word of the Lord. Don't be stubborn, heady, high-minded. Receive it with a humble heart and a humble spirit. Amen. And I guarantee you that as you continue to be obedient to the Lord's voice, even in the smallest of things, you know, there are things the Lord may, you know, instruct you to do. Well, I don't understand that. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't fit. Well, faith believes God and believes that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him and of those that believe him. You can't even come to God unless you first believe in him. But, you know, just as Brother Curtis has experienced tremendous graces and blessings because of his servanthood heart and obedience, you two out there tonight, brothers and sisters that are listening, you can receive that same grace and come under, amen, the leadership and direction of the Holy Spirit if you're a believer. If you're not a believer, you can be saved. If you're a backslider, you can come back home to Jesus tonight. And I just want the Holy Spirit tonight to work in your heart. And so please, when the Lord sends a messenger to you, amen, when he sends a true person of God, a true messenger, like Brother Jose, Jose is a true man of God. God has called him, God's anointed him, and God is connecting people of the same heart and same faith for high kingdom purposes. It's an honor to know Brother Jose. It's an honor to be
Amen.
A part of this, you know, broadcast every week. There's a connection that God has established here. And we know that by the Spirit and by faith that God is going to do some awesome things, because when God starts binding cords together, you see, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. And this is a time that in the kingdom God is giving us divine connections. So allow, you might feel isolated, you might feel desolate, you might feel dry. Ask the Lord to send people to you that are true believers in Jesus, that are true servants of the Lord, that have a heart and mind like yours. And God is faithful. He will, you know, and he that is friendly, to have friends you must show yourself friendly. If a man hath friends, he must first show himself friendly. That's what the Word of God says. And don't let any battles and bruises and beatings that you've got in warfare cause you to isolate yourself or draw back or pull back from other like-minded believers. Come back into the army. Come back into the midst of the battle with fellow believers who've got your back in the Spirit, who won't break rank and who will cover you and intercede for you and fight with you and fight for you. Amen. It's not a time to be alone. Now, there are times that God will call you to come into that secret place, and, you know, he'll speak things to you and just have a, you know, a personal download to you of spiritual truth and impartation. There are times for that. But when he releases you from that time of deep intercession, amen, connect yourself again with the network of kingdom believers, of Jesus-loving, devil-hating, sin-hating, amen, demon destroyers like Brother Jose and people who listen to this radio program. Brother Jose.
Well, Brother Mark, thank you for your kind words. The same applies to your life and to your son in the States. I want to emphasize something, because I was asking Lord if I should touch in this, and the God answered when you talk the story, when you and Curtis count the story. Well, you said that when Curtis entered in your car, you knew by the anointment in your experience that it was not the time to give him the word.
No.
And it comes to be true that after a while, Curtis was ready after some time.
Yeah.
And it's interesting the word he said here. It's not easy to see when your life is reaching the end. So God prepared Curtis to receive the word, and you had vision
yes.
to give him the word in the right time. So what I want to emphasize here is this, and I hope that our listeners understand, because I have made a show yesterday about this. If you want to read after, later on, the archive is there. It's before this one. This touched a great question on these modern days, that this problem, Jesus brought us here to hear the truth, not half truth. Okay, I will put in the chat room. It comes to my spirit to the parable again of the hidden treasure, and there are some secrets in the world that when you go to normal church building that call themselves church, they don't speak you all the truth, because Jesus used parables to bring us, to give us secrets of the kingdom. And I'm going to read the parable. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, which when a man hath found, he hidden, and for joy thereof go and sell all that he had, and buy that field. Matthew 13:44.
Amen.
When we read this, we don't see the deep secrets that are here, okay? And no, there are just a few real spiritual warriors that want you to give all the truth, because it's hard to give you the truth. But Jesus never said it was easy for us. Okay? Let's think. This man found a treasure on a field. By the logic, it was his treasure, because he didn't store to anybody. But it's not that easy. So the kingdom of heaven is this treasure. He is in a field. That man found that the kingdom, that found the treasure. But he, strangely, he hid it again, and he goes and sells everything to buy that field. So, which means that he knew, to be honest, that even founding that treasure, even when you have an experience with Jesus Christ on a church or with someone, that doesn't guarantee you the salvation with that experience. You must pay a price. It's by the grace, but it's not free for you. And this is a big mistake. It's a big deception when you hear buzzwords of fake gospel in discount, in promotion for your life. Jesus never said it was for free. It will cost you all. This man had to hide it again and went in, sell everything to buy that field, because that treasure, it was on a field that has an owner. And the owner of the kingdom is the king of the kingdom.
Yes.
So, when you go to a place or you talk to someone and you have an experience with God, you don't guarantee just because you say, I accept Jesus. You must go and sell everything and receive Jesus not only as a Savior, but as King on your life. He passes to have rights upon your life. Otherwise, it's not a kingdom. It's your kingdom, but not his kingdom. So my brothers and my sisters, don't be foolish by these modern gospels of 10%.
Amen.
You must everything in the altar to guarantee that you will be with him on his kingdom.
Yes, Lord.
You must understand that Brother Marx is what he is because he paid with all. He doesn't give 10% of everything he wants. He gives his all time, all dreams on the altar of the King of Kings. That's why God will honor him with everything he wants, because he put everything. This man found a treasure, but that treasure belongs to the man of the field. If he keep the treasure in that moment, he will be stolen from the owner of the field. That treasure, my brother and my sister, is Jesus.
Yes.
Jesus is King. So you must sell everything, give up your dreams, not destroy your dreams, you must put it on the altar. And if it was good, if it is good for the kingdom, God will make come true. But you must be ready to give up. This is the real kingdom. Don't give just 10% for the man of God. Put in your heart that comes one day that God will say, give it 30, give it 40, but not by law.
Amen.
This is the kingdom, my brother, my sister. Put your son, put your daughter, put your mother, put your father in the hands of
the
Lord, because it's the best place to be. It's the best place. If you try to keep it, you better believe that's where the devil will enter. That young man lost his life because he didn't trust his life to the one who could save him. Brother Marcus.
Yes, well, I have a word of wisdom right now for the worshipers that are listening, the warriors that's listening. I can sense that and I actually do have something I want to release before these next closing minutes of the show. But many of you would like to receive a word from the Lord. And I heard the Holy Ghost speaking to me as Brother Jose was sharing just a moment ago. The Holy Ghost spoke to me. And the Holy Ghost told me to tell you that are looking for a word from the Lord, go back to the last prophecy that you received. Okay? Now, if you have not received a word from the Lord, ask the Lord to send you one. Ask the Lord to send you a true word. He's a giver of every true and perfect gift. But if you have been a recipient of a prophetic word, there is something in that word that you need to revisit, that the Holy Ghost wants you to complete, because the last thing that you need is another prophecy if you've not been obedient to the prophecy that you received prior. You need to be a hearer and a doer of the word. Allow the Lord to give you the grace to be obedient to that last prophetic word that God gave you. Now, I'm going to say this and turn it back to Brother Jose. There's a listener out there that may be on either live or in archive. Your first name is Lenora. And Lenora, you have been a victim of an intense spiritual battle. And in the last 3 months, your heart has been broken. Your heart has been wounded. But the Lord is speaking to you tonight that he is restoring your joy, which is your strength, and he's going to turn a situation around. The situation was meant to destroy you and devastate you and take your faith from you, but your dent is going to be turned into determination.
We have 1 minute.
And you are going to begin
minute.
To turn to the Lord, amen, in full faith and full joy. And that's the word of the Lord to you tonight. So, warriors, receive those words of wisdom tonight. And Brother Jose, I trust and pray that we've said something tonight that have blessed you. Curtis, in the closing minute, if we have time, if you can want to say anything, just quickly.
Bless you, my family. Thank you guys for tuning in again. We love you. And Brother Jose.
Amen. Brother Marcus and Curtis, thank you once again for this wonderful program. I believe that our harmony gets what God wants.
Yes.
I hope to see you next weekend. May the Lord bless us all. May the Lord keep his hand above all our life. Amen.
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 We love you, Brother Jose. Thank you
for
being a man of God.
See you.
And give our best to your wife.
Amen.
Shalom.
Thank you very much. Shalom. Ciao, Curtis.
Shalom, shalom. Blessings. Until next time, family.